Hi guys, it's Pleasance here, and it's the middle of the summer, and I just wanted to say thanks for listening. We're up to over 2,000 listeners, and I'm super proud of our community and all the wonderful guests that we've had. The next few weeks, we're going to have some of my most favorite female friends who are totally rocking their self-care, their businesses, their families, their lives, really inspiring women, and I hope you enjoy listening to them and hearing our conversations. Thanks to those who've reached out on some topics that you want me to dive in deeper with. I'm going to do journaling and also something around the self-coaching model that Brooke Castillo teaches. So stay tuned for those. Also, I just wanted to say that if you're enjoying these conversations and the recordings and the things that we're talking about and teaching, that I do invite you to join our Thrive community. Our community of women is, some are in DC area, some are beyond, and looking towards the fall, we're going to have monthly sacred circles. I have two new beautiful community leaders within Thrive, our Plan to Thrive community, and our community for the healthy habits based in Ayurveda and well-being. So if you want more connection, community, and you're just craving authenticity in this busy world that we're living in, join us. Hope you have a great day. littleom.com/thrive. See you soon.
Hello. Hi, Jen. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm sorry. I just had the pop-up with the Zoom info came into my calendar. So I just called that one.
It's how it works. Like, the technology piece is hilarious. Like, it's supposed to be easy and simple, and then it just is how it is.
Totally, right?
I love it, though, because you were getting to hear, we, behind the scenes of Thrive, which has been our online community for the past 5 years, like, it started at Little Ohm, and then we moved online.
Right.
And the past 3 months, I have a community leader for our planning group and our main group. And so today we're having our business meeting around, like, what do we want to attract? Where do we want to go? How do we want to help people who are motivated to do the work?
Right.
And
right.
Like, how do we kind of up level? Because I find in service, like in the service and wellness world, that we will like give and give and give and give. And sometimes it's not the energetic, like, vibration does not match. Hmm. And then we are trying to help them make changes that they're not necessarily as right. motivated to make.
Right, right, right.
So it's kind of like, from a business perspective, because you're a, you know, a business creator and entrepreneur extraordinaire, you know that that's a really important part to remember. It's like, yeah. I can't want it more than they can, yeah. you know?
It's also how I feel about parenting teenagers, but, oh. you know.
La, 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 la. I'm not listening to that. No, just kidding.
Totally.
Okay, so welcome, Jen. And tell everyone a little bit about, like, I know you from the business world and just your awesomeness. I love always whenever I get to see you chatting about what you're doing. And you have had some changes since the last time I've seen you. So give us a little bit of an update about what you're doing now and what your kind of daily life looks like.
Yeah. So you and I met when I launched my first company called Momentum Resources. And that was a staffing firm that was dedicated to helping parents get more part-time or flexible professional roles. And then I took a buyout from that when it was the right time. And we started another company that was a staffing firm that was really focused on hyper-localizing job markets, you know, big markets like New York or DC. You know, there's no work-life balance at all or any peace if you're commuting 2 or 3 hours a day. But with both of those companies, my biggest client was a company called Summit Consulting, a data analytics firm here in DC. And they were growing and growing and growing and made me a great offer to join their management team about 5 years ago. So I currently serve as the chief of corporate development here, wearing lots and lots of hats, you know, as about a mid-sized firm happens, right? So I run strategy, branding, human capital, and operations here.
How does it feel not to be like go from being the main boss, creative, wearing all the hats to working with a company or in management for a company?
Well, it,
how's that feel?
It for sure was a transition.
Yeah.
You know, I think entrepreneurship is completely exhausting. So I think in the beginning it was kind of nice, right? Like someone else got to worry about who was negotiating the new liability policy, or, you know, there's someone else who's making sure the payroll goes out every week. I didn't have to do all the things. So I could really focus on the things that I'm best at, mm-hmm. And that I really enjoy. And so that part is nice, right? Like, and if you do things like take off vacation, mm-hmm. and, you know, stop doing BD for a week or two, you're not going to like see that in your financial statement next month, mm-hmm. right? You can actually step away a little bit, which is nice. But I did get feedback for about a full year that I was not doing a sufficient job of building consensus. I was so used to making quick, fast decisions. Mm-hmm. The thought of like stopping and getting everyone's mm-hmm. opinion and buy-in. I'm like, come on, people. Yeah, I'm just going to do this anyway. So why am I not just doing it?
Totally.
So that took a little while for sure.
Well, I just think it's such a romantic, because of the online world. And again, like much more in my like wellness, spiritual world, there's this whole like idea that life coaches are like sitting on the beach while they're taking calls, and it's very flexible and open, and it's always so fun. And like, that's certainly not the truth all the time. There's
right.
so much more that goes into it.
Right.
But I think that I think it is so important to speak honestly about the challenges and the pros and the cons for whether you're working for someone or working for yourself, or in DC, I know both of us know a lot of people who have totally integrated, flexible, where they have a long time consulting job or assignment, and they're also writing blogs, right?
Right,
or they're
right,
creative.
Right.
And so this world that we live in is fascinating for blending. And there are times, right, when the consistency and the stability makes a lot of sense.
Honestly,
so important.
It is. And I, you know, I have a set of twins, right? The boys are 16. Yeah. And then I have a younger son who turns 11 in a couple of days, but I launched my first company when he was an infant, and
yeah.
it was like having a different set of twins, right? The baby, and, you know, Anderson went to kindergarten and the company hit 5, and then we had like all these big growth issues. And so, you know, there are some times when you're pulled in a lot of different directions where it's nice to let some other people worry about some of the big stuff. And the stability was just kind of helpful. But that said, I missed the creative piece.
I know.
About a year ago, I started in on a book project, something I've been working on forever.
Yay!
Because I needed that creative outlet, right? And
yes.
writing a book now it really isn't about making money at all. It's about it's just, truthfully, that's the way the industry works, particularly for, you know, non-published authors. But I think it's, you know, it's an outlet for me. It's a way to leave my mark, my legacy, all those things that I feel like I'm missing being in-house somewhere. And you're running your own business, right? You're promoting your own book, your own brand. And I have the freedom to do both of those things. And I think that's very helpful.
Okay. So that's why I wanted to invite you on, was to talk about your book topic. I mean, I want you to share with everybody a little bit of the evolution of like, why did you want to write a book? How did you pick what you wanted to write about, and what it's been like, what the process has been like?
Sure. And so I did a ton of blogging in the momentum world, all about the sort of work-life balance. How do you mm-hmm. negotiate your flexible schedule? And my naivete, I thought, well, just take all these blog posts and write a book, right? I've got it basically written. Like, okay, no, Jed, it's not nearly that easy. And I was a little surprised, though. I put as it went in-house, I put that project on the shelf for a little while, and I came back to it, and I thought, wow, a lot of this is already dated. Like, this, our industry and the world is moving so fast mm-hmm. that you know, put post Me Too, more involved dads. And I mean, it's a different world. So I gave a refresh look at it. And, you know, I think the thing that I have arrived at doing this whole like working parenthood business for 16 years now is there actually is no balance. And like, once you really kind of come to peace with that, that it's better. Right. So I just admit that, you know, working parenthood is a 3-ring circus, but you know, the notion of this book is that you get to be the ringmaster. You can decide what you put in your rings and where the spotlight shines. And sometimes it's like a bunch of drunk clowns, but you know, like you just put them in the ring, shine light elsewhere, you know? So it's, I worked with a lot of individuals and I saw what worked and I saw what didn't. And so I want to make sure that I'm sharing as much of this information before it's, you know, dated again or just not relevant. But I know that there are some strategies that are very helpful. For example, you know, a lot of my early writing was about sort of like how to ask for flexibility, how to negotiate it. And I've completely changed my mind on that. Mm. I think you just do it. I think you be really good at your job. If you're the most kick-ass marketing manager your company's ever hired, you're going to get all the flexibility you need. Mm-hmm. You will, because you're that good. Mm-hmm. So I've really focused my the business part of this book on like, how do you really excel at work to be that, you know, sought after, in demand, highly respected person that can really, you know, not say, oh, I need to come in at 9 o'clock because my daughter has a therapy appointment on Thursday mornings. You just do it and no one questions it.
Yeah. I guess, what are some of the things that you think, I would love to hear like some of the outdated or like the stuff that definitely doesn't work. Like, I love the idea that you changed your mind about something you used to teach and write about, and now it's kind of different. So what are some things that you feel like people are doing that's not that helpful, or more of the strategies?
I think one of the things that a lot of people do is assuming that there's a direct trade-off between flexibility and compensation. And sometimes you'll take what you think is a lower stress role, but then you're working, you know, then you find out it's not the case. And so, you know, that's one of the things. I think people think, well, automatically, if I go part-time, that'll just totally, you know, solve all my problems. Well, you know, part-time often, frankly, looks like, you know, job crammed into 28 hours and you don't get any benefits and you're not on the career track and you're just distressed. I mean, there's certainly some pros to it. Like, maybe you're missing rush hour or there to meet the bus every day after school. But, you know, I think that a lot of times we sell ourselves short. You think, well, I'll just take this job. I mean, it's a lateral or it's a pay cut, but it'll be less stress. And I don't find that that's the case always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so. In my world, it's like, the conversation always around dollars for hours and value and this whole idea of like, well, let me give you the logistics of what you'll get, right? It's 2 calls a month and this, when really the work or the value is in having someone who's your leadership or wellness or spiritual mentor who's had 20 years of experience, who's seeing things and blind spots that you might not see. And that doesn't necessarily translate for dollars per hour. So the value piece, and that's what I think is changing so much when you're talking about expertise, and we're talking about how work is changing in the world. And I have this client who is a millennial, and she, her parents, she's really interested in, you know, she's in nutrition school and she wants to do wellness coaching and mentorship and talks and create courses, a lot of similar to what I do. And of course her parents are like, absolutely not. Like, we don't even understand what that is. You have to get a job and you work at the job for 30 years and then you retire. Like, you don't even need to like the damn job, you know? My husband and I just don't live that way. We don't see the world that way. We spend a lot of time at conferences and podcasts and reading about alternative ways that the world is evolving and changing. And that feels like on the parenting side, so freeing. So how do you find some of this stuff that you're learning and researching for your book applying to parenting?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know where to start with that. So I'm definitely like in the circus, right? I've got 3 boys. Someone's always broken or injured. And, you know, I mean, and this is a classic example, right? Last week, you know, particularly in high school, it's harder to get your kids out of school for the day. So I scheduled all these appointments, orthopedist, orthodontist. I mean, everyone had places to be. My husband was at a conference. I planned to take 3 days off work and then, you know, kind of sort out my family life. But then a few things blew up at the office. And, you know, and so I think that what I see my kids see me do is trying to be present and in the moment when I can be, but sometimes that's being on work calls when I'm at home with them or in the car to the dentist's office. And sometimes when they call me, and the summers are really tough. I feel like we could have an entire podcast about how hard the summers are.
Yes.
But when they're calling me at the office during the day and I'm like, I'm in the middle of something. I'm leading a meeting. I cannot, you know, referee a debate over who had too much Fortnite time. Like, this is not what I'm doing right now. I'm sorry. But, you know, there's a couple of things like I just didn't anticipate, and summers being a really hard thing, and particularly like the sort of older kids. In my mind, I thought they would all be kind of settled by now. I could really be hard charging. I could take that next level up. I could be on the road more. And it's exactly the opposite.
Yes. Like, yes.
Do you want your middle school kids home alone for 4 or 5 hours every afternoon?
Nope.
Nope. Nope.
Nope.
And like, but you can't really get babysitters. So like, what do you do with them? And it's a weird thing. And I just sort of, this is something that just hit me in the last couple of years that I'm kind of shocked by it with, you know, 11, 16 and 16. I thought, wow, we have summer sorted out, and it's not, I mean, it's complete chaos.
I love this so much because, you know, when I was running the studio, which was full of little kids, there is a lot of conversation. There was a lot of conversation around, well, when they're older, I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. Like,
then
my career will really take off, or then I'll go back to work, or then I'll be able to do all this. And I'm, you know, Sailor's 10, so she's my oldest and she's younger than your boys. But I find the same way. I feel the same way is that I have dreams and visions and goals for myself and in my business. And I'm noticing she wants me here more. Emotionally, she wants me here more. And that is changing day by day, week by week, based on those social relationships, right?
Yes,
like, so if she gets in a fight with her best friend, now granted, I have choices that I'm making, again, around my values and like core desires and my feelings that I want to have every day. Like, do I want to be here or do I want to not always be here? Am I making career choices? Am I putting her first? Like, I'm always asking those questions. And of course I'm trying not to helicopter, right? And I really do want her to have her own experiences, and she has to figure some of this stuff out on her own. And like, and I want to kind of like give her a hug if she's crying about a friend.
Right.
You know? So I do think that there's this delusion that when they're older, it will be blank, like easier, or I'll work more. And I just, I don't see that as truth when I talk to my friends who have older kids. You know?
And honestly, you asked sort of about the genesis of this book project. So I had all this content. I wanted to do something with it. But I think at the end of the day, I'm just completely passionate about, you know, women's equality and fairness and those kinds of things. That really is what gets me going. And women are not going to have equality, you know, professionally or personally, until they really stay in the game. And what I see women doing is like, oh, it's just too hard. I need to stay home for 2 years. But if you have three kids and each you're stay home, so your youngest goes to kindergarten, then you've been out of the workforce for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. It's so hard. I mean, there's ways to do it. And I have some good strategies that I talk about in the book, but it's just an uphill battle. And then thing is, it's like you said, their needs change. They evolve. Like, you still need to be so present, so available. Like, I'm so surprised that dealing with a bullying situation with freshmen in high school. And I mean, I kind of didn't think I'd be going back to high school, but I'm doing 2 or 3 hours of homework with my sons who have ADHD. And I'm like trying to relearn chemistry after a 12-hour day in the office. And it's just not easy. Right. So you need to like, just be in the game, because it will go away. My older two, you know, theoretically should fly the nest here in the next couple of years. And you know, it has been a blank. It's just been like, how did that happen so fast? But you got to be in the game in order to get closer towards the equality piece.
So what is a strategy? I know that you'll have more in the book, and everyone should read it. It's not out yet, right? You're still writing
it,
right?
Yeah. Okay, still writing this. Yeah.
But, and then, you know what I'd love to do, Jen, just side note, is when the book comes out, let's have everybody over here to my house and let's have a whole book party conversation.
Oh, that'd
let's
be amazing.
Because so many of these listeners live in the neighborhood, they're little moms, and I know they'd love to have some face-to-face with you. Like, what are the strategies? So give us one, like, they're, you know, maybe someone is listening to this, they're on maternity leave, or I'm thinking of one of our thrivers who just had her third baby and she's been out of work and she just heard what you said. I don't want her to go to fear and panic mode.
Let's
give her a tool. What could she be thinking about right now?
A couple of things, and they're pretty simple. The hard thing is making it a priority for you. Number one is strategic volunteering. Right. Like, so what you want is to not have a 10-year blank spot on your resume. So you want to volunteer in a way that's going to help you get back into work. So what does that mean? It does not mean be the PTA president. And I like, don't kill me, PTA moms, but you're probably already going to do PTA stuff. Like, you're always going to volunteer at your kid's school because that's who we are and what we do. But if you are, say, a fundraiser, you might be it America Red Cross chapter, like expand your network, you know, something that people can really attach, like big brands, like, you know, anything that's really strategic. So if you're an attorney, go be a CASA advocate or, you know, lots of different things you can do that are related to your space. The second is keep up your professional certifications. So you work in HR, right? You've got your SHRM certification. You've got to get CE, continuing education classes. Keep those skills sharp. You know, like, yes, you have to, it's like, it's the last thing you want to do at 7 o'clock is put on like grown up clothes and go network, but it really will make it easier. And the third is get any kind of certification. So what people want to see is, particularly around technology, like what people want to see is you're not going to walk in and be like, oh, I've never used Google Docs, or I don't know how this works, or whatever. So if you're programming and you only know SAS, you need to learn open source like R. So whatever the thing is, but get a online certification so it's defensible, right? Everybody knows what the QuickBooks trained bookkeeper is. But if you just say like, oh yeah, I was a bookkeeper 10 years ago. I mean, people are going to think that your skills are not maybe as fresh, or you're not up to date with the latest software. Yeah. It sounds so silly, but there's a lot of really unconscious bias around people who've been out of the job force for a long time. And immediately you think, these people don't even know what LinkedIn is, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to, like, so if you really are strategic about your off ramp, that time you're out of the workforce, your on ramp back in can be a lot less painful. Mm-hmm. But if you just quit and be like, you know what, I'm just going to stay home and like volunteer at the preschool, we'll see what happens. It's just going to be a really hard, hard, long stretch. And you can do it. It's just, it doesn't need to be that hard.
Yeah. And I think it's so fascinating because I definitely, when I left education, like didn't really have a plan. Was getting off and I was like, I'll figure it out. But I know myself well enough to know that I love, like, the things that I love wholeheartedly, and I always want to be learning about, and I'm a lifelong learner and a joiner. So I'm always taking classes, or I'm always volunteering for something awesome that feels good to me. And so anytime I'm shifting and looking for like what's going to happen next, or what's my vision, or what's the legacy piece, I can brainstorm a whole list of exactly what you said. Like, oh, well, I just did a whole year of fundraising for Iona Senior Center, which I love in my community. You know, if I actually wanted to have work with them, I'd have no problem walking over there and saying, I want to be here, you know? Yeah. So I love that, like, you're saying things that I'm thinking about. I'm like, oh, I've been doing that naturally while building my business and raising my kids, because it's just who I am. But I love the idea that it's intentional, you know, and helping people do that. Yeah.
And you really have to say, like, I'm going to book a babysitter, you know, Thursday morning a month, and I'm going to have lunch with old coworkers or get coffee people. You just really have to keep that network connected. Yeah. Take those classes, go to those networking events. It's just, it seems like the last thing you want to do. And I get it, but it's just like, you have to imagine your future self wants this to be easier.
Well, and I love that my business coach this year gave me the book Power Networking, which from a spiritual perspective, Jen, I hate the name of that book. Like, I'm sure it's wonderful, but I had to like call it something different because I like couldn't, you know, I don't want to be power networking anything. It's just who I am. That's why you love me. But I read the book. It was like, oh, this is amazing. Of course I want to call all these amazing women I know and ask them, what are you doing? Tell me how I could help you. Like, just being in relationship and connecting, and then being intentional around the different areas of relationships that you have, and making sure, of course, I have a million, you know, friends who went to integrative nutrition with me, but who are my friends in the finance world? Who are my friends who are running technology organizations, and just seeing them as a whole? That was actually, from like a visual standpoint, super fun, because I mapped them all out and made little circles, and I was like, I have the best women in my life ever. And I was really nerdy about all that.
But it's so cool to see it.
It's so cool to see it. And because the relationships are authentic, and I truly do adore these women, I feel supported, but I also love supporting, because that so many women like that, right? I mean, I think that's, we met in her corner, which is all about this. Like, how do we work together? Because women running businesses and lives looks different, you know? Okay, I want to shift gears, and I want to ask you about the name of this podcast is Soulful Self-Care Session. So one of the things that I like to dig into is, what do you do to take care of yourself? What does that really, truly look like in your daily, weekly, monthly life?
So yeah, I have a few things. One is just a regular commitment to fitness. Mm-hmm. I have to. I get up at the ungodly hour of 4:50 every morning and work out. But 3 or 4 days a week, it's with my crew. My mom's squad in the neighborhood, and they're amazing. And so it's like my social hour and my exercise time.
Yep.
And I need both of those things, right?
Yeah.
And so we, you know, run races together, and we plan trips together around fitness stuff and really challenge each other. But that's also who's hearing about the latest thing my kids did that made me nuts, or my coworker that's driving me insane. Or so they're really become my social network. And I really prioritize that above a lot of things.
Yeah.
The other is sleep, and I'm not a great sleeper, but I go to bed very early and I protect that. But what that means is I have very little time with my husband. Mm-hmm. So we have to kind of sort that out in other ways. But, you know, when my kids were smaller, they had the 7 o'clock bedtime. We really believed in the early bedtime. Then we'd have a couple hours to ourselves for grown-up dinner, maybe watch a television show. And we just don't have that now. And I just, again, I didn't see this coming. Like, yeah. The kids are all up, and I'm usually the first to bed in the family. So my 10-year-old tucking me in is kind of a funny thing, right?
I have that too.
So you're like, well, I mean, I know I should be up like playing a board game or something, but like, I got to go to bed.
Yeah.
Same. So like, if I don't sleep, it's bad for everybody.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing an acupuncturist for a variety of reasons, and that has really helped. I'm thinking a little bit more broadly about what wellness looks like for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it has some real positive physical effects, but sometimes I think it's that, you know, monthly appointment with someone who I sit down with and she just asks me how I'm doing.
Yeah.
And could I just talk about what you're feeling, what's working and what's not, and how can we release some chi and all that good stuff. And it's just lovely. And it's just my time.
Yeah. And I think it's important because you have all that male energy at home and all that masculine energy at home. And then also probably in the workforce, just the nature of what you're doing is very, again, energetic on a masculine level. Not necessarily are you surrounded by men, but when we're talking about energies, we're talking about, yes, having something like restorative yoga, like acupuncture, like massage, like journaling or writing or nature, something that has feminine energy that just allows a little bit more of that wholeness, not necessarily balance, but wholeness.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a really
alignment,
good
wholeness. Yes. Yeah.
Very important distinction, Pleasance. And I'm so proud of the work you're doing in this area, because I think this like misnomer about balance, like then you're all there, it doesn't exist. Like you're never going to get there, and you're always going to feel bad about yourself for being less than whole. But what whole looks like for you is different than anyone else. Like no one else can tell you what that looks like. And it's different day to day, week to week, year to year.
Yeah.
And so you're always sort of in this relentless pursuit of wholeness. And you know, and I've had a hard time lately. Actually, I've had a yoga practice since I was a teenager. And for whatever reason, I can't get on the mat. Mm. Sometimes it's a little bit logistics, but I know it's better for me. So that's one thing I'm really struggling through those last few months. Like, what is keeping me off the mat right now when I know that that works?
Yeah. And we have seasons that are like that. I mean, I think that that's it. And at some point, because it's been a part of your life for so long, you will be back on the mat and you may have some insight or not. And that's okay too.
Right. Right.
I mean, I hear that all the time. People telling me like, I used to meditate and now I don't. Now I'm going to think about meditating more than actually doing it. Or I'm going to think about why I'm not doing it. At which point I'm like, shh, just go, you know, it's okay.
Right.
We don't always need to know. So I think those dynamic, and it's just like you're saying, like you're right now, prior morning, exercise feels so good. So in law of attraction stuff, we always say like, do what feels good.
Right.
That's what is right for you right now in this season, you know,
it will change.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yay. Thank you for all of your wonderful wisdom and insights. Where can people find you, learn more about what you're doing? And then, of course, we'll have everyone over to the living room once the book's out. But tell us where they can find you.
Yeah, on jennifer.net is the website for the book. And I'm always looking for, and there's a lot of blog stuff happening there too, and I'm always looking for interesting stories or questions or things people are thinking about that provide me lots of good new ideas. So if your listeners out there have great ideas about things they're curious about or want to learn more about, shoot me an email, drop me a line. I'd love to talk to them.
Okay, awesome. I'll put the website in the notes for today so people can click on it and find you there. Okay, Jen?
Okay. That sounds great.
Yay! Have a wonderful rest of your summer. I hope to see you in person soon. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Pleasance.
Bye, right, Jen. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.